Well, this morning we may be setting our Guinness Book of Records here for the most people in Caudill Temple, at least in a long time. Usually when we have our ceremony to begin our week, Swami Bhua suggests it be louder. mic closer. Okay. I think Swami can't hear. Usually, is that any louder? Should be moved. Usually when we give our talk after our ceremony, Homa ceremony that begins our week, we just have a few people here. But because the talk goes on the internet, I always visualize everyone who's listening on the internet around the world, and which creates a large audience. Also, I speak to them, but this morning there's enough of you here. I don't need to do that. I just focus on everyone here. It's a very large group. So we're talking on karma, specifically karma management. That's nice volume. And as we talked about last night, we were comparing that to stress management, but I'll repeat that because a number of you present here this morning weren't there last night. So the teachings of Hinduism are often secularized, meaning they're drawn on in situations that makes them look like they have nothing to do with Hinduism. So the most popular example of that is still Hatha Yoga. Hatha Yoga is an integral part of Hinduism, but somehow it's been separated and secularized. So people are studying Hatha Yoga all throughout the Western world, and they feel it has no connection at all with Hinduism. How in the world was that achieved? Kind of amazing. And it's become much more popular. We have our own local barometer, which is Kapa'a Town. And today, you know, as you drive through Kapa'a, which you will be as part of your excursions, you look around and you'll see many, many signs advertising yoga classes, you know, big signs. There must be four or five different yoga studios in Kapa'a. Something that 30 years ago wasn't there, of course, when we first moved to the island. It's a new phenomenon. Kapa'a reflects it. And, of course, if you went in any of the yoga studios, there wouldn't be any connection to Hinduism, right? This is Hatha Yoga, nothing to do with Hinduism. But, of course, it does. It's a Hindu practice, but it's used quite often these days in stress management. So that's why we're talking about it. Is it's an effective technique. It's become a technique for managing stress. A traditional Hindu practice, Hatha Yoga, is taken out of its Hindu context, secularized, and used to manage stress. And no one thinks twice about it these days. Well, of course they do. It doesn't have anything at all to do with Hinduism. So, today we're taking a similar approach to karma, karma management. And who knows, in the future, this might catch on. We could be starting a trend here today so that institutes open up in Kapa'a 30 years from now, karma management institutes. Right. And, of course, it has nothing to do with Hinduism. No, karma management, no, nothing at all to do with Hinduism. It's a secular technique that comes from somewhere. So who knows, we might be starting that trend. So that's our idea is that these principles can be applied, of course, by Hindus, but by anyone. Just like Hatha Yoga can benefit anyone, so can the principles of karma management benefit our lives. So about 2 years ago, we gave a talk at the local junior college on Hinduism, Professor Lydgate there teaches a world history class. And as part of it, every few years he has us drop in and explain Hinduism. So we asked about karma and explained about karma and asked for a definition of karma. And one of the students said, what goes around comes around, which is an accurate definition of karma, of course, and in the person's own words, which shows they understand the principle. So karma has become very popular in Western movies and on television. You hear it mentioned all the time, and it's mentioned in a correct way, which is good. It's not misunderstood. It's clearly understood and becoming more and more a mainstream concept in the West. However, understanding karma correctly is not the end goal. To draw an analogy to nutrition, someone can study nutrition in school and get A's on all their tests. Too close? Okay. Be an expert in nutrition and still eat junk food 3 times a day. Possible, right? Why would that be? Because they haven't applied the knowledge that they've learned about nutrition to their daily life. It's just an intellectual subject that they can do well in. So karma can be the same in that even though we understand the intricacies of karma, perhaps we're not applying it to our daily life, and therefore we're missing out on how it can really benefit us. Because if we don't apply it, it's just one more intellectual subject that we understand correctly. But its true benefit comes when we can apply it and change and improve our daily life. So we can look at karma, the study of karma, as a three-step process. The first step is alleviating any false concepts we have, correcting anything that we're not understanding correctly. And there are a number of false concepts about karma, and we'll look at one of them this morning. Once we get past correcting the false concepts, we want to learn the correct intellectual concepts. And again, we'll look at a few of those this morning. And then finally, we want to apply this knowledge to our life and change the way we interact with life into a more wise approach, taking this knowledge of karma, changing our life, and living more wisely. All of that can be summarized in one beautiful quote by Gurudeva. It is easy to study the law of karma and to appreciate it philosophically, but to realize it, to apply it to everything that happens to you, to understand the workings of it as the day goes by, requires an ability to which you must awaken. That means it's not self-evident. It's easy to miss applying it. So we want to think about that as we go through these 10 principles of effective karma management, which help us apply it in a systematic way.